Morning, brethren. I sure am glad to be with you today. I hope that you have a Bible, and I invite you to turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes in the 11th chapter. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We're going to be looking at God's Word together in that place. I'm very excited to be with you for this gospel meeting. It's really an exciting time of year. As I came into town yesterday, I was went into Walmart. I had to get a couple of things, and I saw all of the gear there for the kids going back to school, this back to school season. They're shopping, getting all their paper and pencils and all that. And I love that time of year because it is a new beginning, a new chapter in life. And our lives are marked off by new beginnings and new chapters, aren't they? I think about when someone is baptized and they become a Christian. That's a new beginning in life. In fact, really, it's more than a chapter, it's a whole new book. But there are different aspects of life marked off by chapters. You finish school, you go and get your first job, and you've begun a new chapter in life. Or you get married and you start a family, and that's a new chapter in life. Maybe you move to another house or to another town or even to another state. It's a new beginning. It's a new chapter in life. Maybe you start a business or you launch out on your career. Hey, it's a new beginning. It's a new chapter in life. Maybe you graduate your kids. You become a grandparent. Now, that's a new chapter in life. You retire from your work. You find that you're spending a lot of time caring for your elderly parents. That's a new chapter in life. Why, one day the kids are coming around and they're checking on you. And that is a whole new chapter in life. I want to tell you this morning that in every stage, in every chapter of life, it's better with God. Faith is the way to make it the best that it can be. I believe that any chapter with God is better than a chapter without Him. Absolutely. Faith. Bible faith. This morning in this Bible class time, I want to speak to you about big faith in every chapter of life. Big faith in every chapter of life. Now, when we're talking about Bible faith, we're not talking about some name it and claim it mantra. When we talk about Bible faith, we're not talking about easy believism. When we're talking about Bible faith, we're not talking about some Sunday only faith. When we talk about Bible faith, it's about knowing God, trusting God, and obeying God, regardless of the circumstances of life. Knowing God, obeying God, trusting God, regardless of our circumstances. And I know this about Christians. All of us are trying to grow in faith, to be built up in our faith. And the more we grow our faith, the more we're built up in our faith gets big. Our faith gets bigger. Big faith. I want my faith to be bigger next year than it is today. Do you want that? I want to have big faith, like I read about in the Bible. Big faith in every chapter of life. And that even if you this morning are at a moment or in a situation or a circumstance where you're not sure exactly how it's all going to end, I want you to have a faith that says, I'm going to go ahead and take this next step in obedience to God. I'm going to go ahead and trust Him. I will have the confidence in God to take that step. The kind of faith I'm talking about is the kind of faith Abraham had when he went out not knowing where he was going. I'm talking about faith like Moses, who refused to be called Pharaoh's son and chose instead to suffer with his brothers rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. I'm talking about the kind of faith that you see in the Virgin Mary when she told the angel Gabriel, "Let it be according to your word. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Can you imagine having faith like that? That's big faith. And as we look to Ecclesiastes chapter 11 today, chapter 11 and even into chapter 12, we're going to be learning about big faith in every chapter of life. Faith and big faith. Now, as you look over Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 12, you say, that's interesting that you want to talk about faith, because I don't see the word faith written in those chapters. And indeed, that word is not there. And yet, as we do go to these writings of Solomon, he uses three words in Ecclesiastes 11 and 12 that certainly mean faith. They mean a big, big faith. In Ecclesiastes 12, in verse number 1, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember God. Remember God. At the end of chapter 12, in verse 13, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Remember God, fear God. Remember God, fear God. And then in verse 13, keep his commandments. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Remember him, revere him, and obey him. And if that's not a definition for faith, then I don't know what is. Remember God, revere God, and obey God. Know God, obey God, trust God. We're talking about faith in God. Big faith in every chapter of life. Well, I saw that you had the handouts, the interactive outlines, and these lesson sheets kind of keep us on the same page as we're going through the scriptures together. When I remember to turn the remote on, we'll advance these slides and you can fill in the blanks in the outline as we go along. I want to go to number one in the notes, big faith in the sunny chapters, as well as the dark chapters of life, because both are described here at the end of Ecclesiastes 11. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse number 7, truly the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. If I could sum up these two verses in this way, it would be that in your life, you're going to have some sunny times and you're going to have some dark times, but all of them are brief times. All of it's transitory. In the grand scheme, none of those times last for very long. And I think most of us understand that the Bible teaches that life is brief, that James describes it as a vapor here and then quickly gone. And we'd say, yes, I understand that. But it really is brief. I heard a comedian joking one time, and he said, people say life is short. He goes, no, it isn't. Life is long, especially when you make bad decisions. And a lot of us can laugh at that, but the truth is that we get 24 hours a day. And whether it seems like that's going by quickly or whether it seems like that's really dragging out and taking a long time, a lot of that has to do with our circumstances and our attitude towards our circumstances. But it really is the same amount of time, and Solomon is showing us that whether life is feeling painful or pleasant in a moment, that day is gone all the same. He begins in verse 7 by explaining to us that each day is a blessing from God. A day of life is a gift and a blessing. Verse 7, the light is sweet. It is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. Sunrise means that God has given you something great. When your eyes open up and you see the sun has come up for another day, you have already been blessed by God. He's already given you a precious gift. The morning is a gift. It's sweet. It's pleasant. That's what the wise man said. And I really do want to drive that home because in a minute we're going to read the word vanity. And the word vanity is all over the book of Ecclesiastes. And so people look at that and they say, well, it's futile and it's empty and this is not good news. But I want you to appreciate what is true. And in verse 7, he says, truly, this is true. It's that a day of life is good. And what we know is that every good and perfect gift comes from God. He's given us a beautiful gift. And that even a good long life has dark days. If a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, verse 8, yet let him remember the days of darkness, they will be many. Who doesn't like the idea of a good long life? Don't you want to live a good long life? Don't you want to die full of days like those great people of faith and get to see the kids and the grandkids and maybe the great-grandkids? Who doesn't want to see that? And even with people of big faith, they got some dark days in that long life. Think about Joseph. He went to prison for doing right things. and fleeing the temptation of Potiphar's wife. He goes to jail for being faithful for years. Those are dark days in a life marked by great faith. Or what about Moses? Moses was not allowed to enter the promised land. Why? Because in a dark chapter of his life, he acted without faith. He struck a rock for the miracle to produce water when God had told him, "No, you speak to the rock." And for that pride, he was not allowed to enter into the promised land himself. Dark days amidst a life of great faith. Or I think about Job. Boy, Job had some dark days, didn't he? And he was never told why. It wasn't until Job could get to heaven for him to see the prologue to the book to find out that actually the devil was crafting a great temptation to tempt him to curse God. And yet, he never did curse God. He had great faith amidst terrible circumstances. And sometimes, whether we've been doing right things or doing wrong things, things just happen. And you have dark days upon us. In chapter 9 and verse 11, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. What are we saying? That even a good long life has some dark days. But I want to tell you about this for a moment. Back in 2018, I made an unexpected trip to Indiana. That's where I'm from. I'm from Indiana. My wife's grandmother had passed away. She was 104 years old, and that's a good long life. I was invited to go and speak at the funeral, and it was a tremendous honor telling people about Sweet Gladys. That was her name. And as I would tell people, yeah, I'm going to Indiana, I'm going to do the funeral, she's 104 years old, people would invariably comment, "That's amazing. What a good long life. What a good long life." And I will have to tell you, I don't think you would disagree, 104 years, that is a long life, isn't it? That is a very long life. And I think it was a good life, but it was because Gladys chose to make it a good life. You see, when you learn Gladys' story, she grew up in the Great Depression to farmer parents in Illinois. They were very poor and didn't have a lot of creature comforts. She comes to age during World War II and knew a lot about sacrifice, as all the country did. She became a school teacher and married pretty late in life, given her age. And while she was blessed to have two daughters, she was widowed after 15 years of marriage, a tragic accident as a train ran over her husband. And there she was, with two girls to raise, a school teacher, a single mom, all by herself, in a time in the culture when that didn't happen much. A lot of difficulty in that life. And some people would look at that life and say, "That's why I have trouble believing that there's a God, that terrible hardships like that happen to people, and life shouldn't be that way if God is good." But those hard times didn't sour Gladys. They didn't sour her at all. When she had her 100th birthday, I asked her what was the neatest things that she saw change over the course of her life. And she thought about it a minute, and she goes, "Well, I'll tell you my opinion what the two best improvements have been in the last 100 years. Number one was indoor plumbing." She said, "Because I grew up without it, and that makes a big difference." And number two, she said, was air conditioning. Those are the two best things that she had seen in her 100 years. And those are pretty, pretty good things. At her funeral, all of these children from generations had come to pay their respects because she had been a math teacher in a little town in Indiana, and all her students came back. And one of her students made so good, he became a state senator, and he was there to pay his respects at her funeral. She impacted so many lives in good and positive ways. Gladys was a testament to a long life, not soured by hardship. Solomon says we're going to have many dark days. Big faith sees us through the dark days in order to see the next sunny days, in order to see the next sunny chapter. And big faith helps us to understand dark times and keep our hearts for God. As the Bible uses the word heart, it's not talking about sentimentality like we often use the word heart. The Bible is talking about the seat of our will and even our intellect. That's the Bible heart. And so when Solomon says in Proverbs 4 and verse 23, keep your heart because out of it springs forth the issues of life, he is helping us to understand your life is not about the circumstances and what is happening to you. Your life is about your attitude and what is flowing from you. Keep your heart, even in dark times. And big faith allows us to do that. Every day, he says in verse 8, is vanity. Well, what's that mean? It means it's futile. It's transitory. It's quickly passing away. Time and life is not what you hold on to. God is what you hold on to. God is eternal. God is the one who does not change, and he never fails. And that's big faith, when we can remember and respect and obey God today, regardless of circumstances. It is faith in God that carries us through to another sunrise so that we can be thankful for the gift of today and we can rejoice in it. We can be steward of this time for God's glory because it is temporary. And it's all the more precious because it's temporary. I had the opportunity to go hold a gospel meeting a few years ago up in Soldotna, Alaska. And if you ever get a chance to go to Alaska, go to Alaska. But my hosts were telling me about up in Fairbanks, Alaska, every year they have this juried art contest, the World Ice Art Championships. And artists come from all over the globe to Fairbanks to carve a giant block of ice. And, you know, they give awards and there's festivals and it's just a really big deal. But think about that for a moment. An artist whose medium is ice. They carve ice. What happens to ice? It melts away. It goes away. And do we say, this is futile, this is pointless. Why would you ever carve in ice? Well, it is transitory. It is here for a moment and it goes away. Is it less valuable because it's transitory? It's all the more precious because you only have it for a moment. That's life. That's the gift of this life. And big faith fashions our life into joy and fruitfulness, even in the brevity of a passing day. We need to learn that, especially as we move from Ecclesiastes 11 into chapter 12, because there the wise man explains how these chapters of life, they break into two phases. You got your early chapters, and you got your later chapters. So let's talk about the early chapters. As we go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. If you're younger, what will the early chapters of your life be? And if you're older in the room, how did the early chapters of your life go? How has it been? Now, as we come to this scripture, big faith brings a joyful and fruitful youth. Follow God in this inspired advice. All right, for instance, Ecclesiastes 9, enjoy your youth. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Youth isn't to be idolized, it's not to be coveted, but it is to be enjoyed. You live once, you're young once. That's the way God made it, so enjoy it. We got some younger people here in the room, and I'm so glad that you got up early and you're here this morning. Let me encourage you. We've all had those times when we were young, and we got up, and before we had to go to school, we're looking ourselves in the mirror, and we're saying, I just don't like what I look like. I'm gangly and awkward. My hair just won't comb straight. Some of the kids don't like me because I don't have money to wear the trendiest clothes. It's very stressful and I'm very unhappy. And we've all had those feelings. But let me tell you that in a few years, what will happen is you're going to get out a yearbook from when you were in that high school. And you're going to open the page and you're going to flip through it. And it's just going to hit you. And you're going to say, wow, I was so young. Wow, I was so thin. Wow, I had hair, and I remember that shirt, and I thought it was the coolest shirt ever. What was I thinking? And you'll think, what was I so worried about? Why was I so stressed all the time? Why didn't I just enjoy it a little bit more? And Solomon says, enjoy the days of your youth. He says, explore in chapter 9. Explore. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. All the early chapters of life are exciting because you get to do things. You have opportunities. And I will tell you this morning that you should. You should try a new sport. You should try a new activity. You should try joining a new club. You should try getting that first job. Go for it. If you can travel, you ought to travel. If you can get some education, get some education. Go. Explore. I know when you go off to school, you have this new social world to explore. You should explore it. You'll never know what that new experience or meeting that new person might mean for you. Now, I'm blessed. I met my wife in high school. We were high school sweethearts. But I'll tell you how I met my wife. We were in a drama club. And I decided to go to drama club and to try out for a school musical. And she was there that same day for that school musical. And that's how we met. Because we both were there to try something new. Boy, I'm glad I went that day. I didn't know how well that was going to work out for me all those years later. But you got to try something new. You meet new people, you have new experiences, and amazing things can happen from that. Now, as we continue in chapter 11, verse 9, he says, enjoy the youth, explore this life. He says, and always remember God. And always remember God. Verse 9, and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Live in the light of God, not despite God. And when it says remember God, that doesn't mean tie a string around your finger. What was I supposed to remember? I'm supposed to remember God. That's not what it means to remember God. Remembering God is about choosing this day, I'm going to follow the will of God. In fact, it's even about I want to learn the will of God. Help me to learn the scripture that I might trust him and obey him. That's how I remember God. We remember that God will judge and that there are no secrets from him. In chapter 11, verse 9, God will bring you into judgment. Chapter 12 and verse 14, we will be judged and there are no secrets from God. That's a warning. Don't think life is all about you and think you're the judge of life. In fact, life is very short. God's eternal and he's the judge. So as you spend time in the Word learning morality and ethics that God has revealed, his Word is true, that's what remains. As a youth, spend time in the Word learning some genuine wisdom about life, because genuine wisdom is revealed from God, it's given to us from God. Don't ever kid yourself into thinking that you've got things so figured out, or your friends have, or some professor seems real smart, and it's got you persuaded to say, oh, I get it, there's actually not a God. That's foolishness. Of course there's a God. Remember God. Live life in the light of the Word of God. And you can do that remembering that God will provide. In verse 10, we read, therefore remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. You want to remove vexation and worry and anxiety? Everything else in life changes, and it changes quickly. But if you are God's child, then what you have is God. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. You remember God, and he will provide for you. And I will just say this, that the more chapters that are written in the course of your life, the more you see the truth of what I just said. That in the middle of it, you're just not always sure how things are going to work out. But after you get down the road a little ways and you can look back, you can see, wow, God is so good. And there were some doors that were open for me and my family. And there were some doors that were closed for me and my family. And God did not forsake me. We were wise to trust in God. Remember that our God Almighty, he's the one who dictates good and evil, so that you can choose good. Verse 10, remove the sorrow from your heart. Put away evil from your flesh. Life is just full of choices. And God bestows upon us the dignity, of respecting those choices. He says, put evil far away from you. Don't pursue that. The barb of temptation and sin, and here's the thing, is that everyone thinks they'll get away with the sin. Everyone thinks that. Nobody ever thinks that they're the one who is taking that fentanyl-laced hit of drugs. That happens to somebody else. That doesn't happen to me. Nobody ever thinks I'm too drunk to drive. Somebody else might be. Somebody else might cross a median, but it'd never be me. Nobody thinks, well, I'm the one that will get a disease or get pregnant out of wedlock. That happens to other people, but I'm too smart for that. Nobody ever thinks I'm the one that my angry ex-boyfriend or angry ex-girlfriend will post a whole bunch of pictures or videos of me online to embarrass me or get some kind of revenge where I was doing awful things or in some type of state of undress or immodesty. Nobody ever thinks that's going to happen to me when they're taking that picture of themselves for a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Nobody thinks that's going to happen to me. Friends, there are earthly consequences to forgetting God and choosing evil. And even more dire, there are spiritual consequences to forgetting God and choosing evil. But what the scripture says is remember God. Big faith remembers God. Big faith understands that when I've made those mistakes and when I have sinned and when I've forgotten about the Lord has an answer for that too, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by faith and repentance in Christ, I can have forgiveness of my sins. I can be restored to God by the power of the gospel. In fact, we're invited to become Christians as we are baptized for the remission of our sins, to get a whole new beginning and a whole new start. God has the answer for our sins and our mistakes also. It's all here. If we'll come back to the Word of God and remember God. Can we see how the early chapters of life require some big faith? In so many words, he's saying, remember God. Start young and exercise in faith. Big faith. Start today. Because these early chapters are transitory. He says in verse 10, childhood and youth are vanity. What's that mean? They're not here for very long. They go away quickly. They pass away quickly. And it moves us on then to the later chapters of life, which is number 3 in your notes. Big faith in the later chapters of life. And let's keep reading Ecclesiastes, and let's go into chapter 12 now. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, the clouds do not return after the rain, and the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim. When the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also they are afraid of height and terrors in the way, when the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden and desire fails, for man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about in the streets. What are these first 5 verses of Ecclesiastes 12? They are a very poetic picture of aging, aren't they? And even advanced age. And you go through that imagery and you can see there people starting to lose their hearing. And you can see there people starting to lose their eyesight. And you can see people that don't trust their balance anymore. They don't want to walk in the streets and they might fall over. And people who wake up at the slightest sound and they're going to be awake all night. Or they have trouble getting to sleep and they never want to go to sleep. Their teeth are breaking down on them. And even their hair's changing color if they're even blessed to have hair. A poetic picture of advancing in age. Well, when does all that begin? You know, Moses said that life could be 70 or 80 years in Psalm 90, verses 9 and 10. And I always chuckle at that because Moses lived to be 120. But he said you could expect 70 or 80 years. I had this brother tell me one time in Tennessee. I'll tell you this story real quick. We'll move on. But Brother Myron Thomas was his name, and I'd go and sit with him, and he was kind of aged when I would go to sit with him, and he'd say, Andrew, I remember when I was your age. I remember when I was your age. I thought 60 was old. I thought 60 was old. But then I got to be 60. You know what? 60 isn't all that old. And I said, okay, Brother Thomas. Yeah, but then I said to myself, now 70 is old. And then you know what? I got to be 70 years old, and I realized 70 isn't all that old. 70 isn't old, but you know what? 80. Now, 80 is old. And then I got to be 80 years old. And you know what, Brother Andrew? I said, what's that, Brother Myron? He goes, 80 is old. And he had had, now that's Brother Thomas's words, don't get mad at me, but he had had some health problems, and he had had a broken back. He'd seen his wife really deteriorate with Alzheimer's. The 80s were hard for Brother Thomas. They really were. And I will say this, that you need big faith in life when suddenly you come to a situation like Saul. It's not suddenly, but gradually you come to a situation like Solomon describes, and you don't feel good in the morning. A night of rest isn't enough to just kind of shake off what was ever bothering you. And you need faith in those moments when a sunrise doesn't fix and you don't feel good. You need faith when your spouse is dealing with ongoing infirmity that comes with age. And you've got to deal with things now. That good night rest, it doesn't shake it off. And you need faith when you begin attending funerals for your friends and your peers are passing away. You need faith when it is your spouse who passes away. You need faith when it's quiet and lonely. You need faith when you realize that I don't have as many days ahead of me, all things being equal, as what we're behind. You need faith, and you need big faith. You need the strength of a faith that you have been exercising and building up for many years to meet those moments. Because it is a precious thing in the sight of God, the passing of His saints. But you want some faith to know how precious it is. We go to verse 6 and we read, remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. What do we have here? A very poetic picture of death, and actually the suddenness of death. The ancient lamp was a kind of a bowl, actually, that hung from a chain off the wall or the ceiling, and in that bowl is oil, and that's what's lit. But if the chain snaps, falls down to the ground, it smashes open, the light goes out. That's death. Or the wheel that you were using at the well to bring up water. But again, the shaft breaks or the wheel breaks or something, and that bucket goes down and smash, and you're not getting that bucket back. It's done. That's death. The suddenness of these things falling, and there is no repair for them. And so we see in verse 8, vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. He says it's all futile because it's all transitory. Because it is all so brief, except for God. God endures. God is eternal. God is there. And so what is needed in these last chapters of life? It's big faith. In fact, it's big faith in God that is needed in every chapter of life. As we draw to conclusion here, I'd like to direct your attention to verses 13 and 14 of the chapter. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. What is needed is big faith in God in every chapter of life. And I'm not saying faith for faith's sake. That's not it. I'm not saying faith in faith. I'm certainly not saying faith in yourself. The book of Ecclesiastes is not a big self-esteem booster. But I will tell you that Solomon's treatise is a big faith builder. It's a big faith builder. And we build our faith, our big faith in God, when we remember God in every chapter of life. When we fear God in every chapter of life. And when we obey God in every chapter of life. We're about faith. We're about building big faith. And brethren, that's what our gospel meeting and our week is going to be about. That's my heart desire for me and for all of us. That as we're coming together this week, We're going to be encouraged and built up in our most holy faith, and we want to be a part of that, and we want to bring our kids and our neighbors to come be a part of that, because we're about big faith in God in every chapter of life. God bless you. Thank you for your good attention. Amen. I don't think that thing stopped. The recording. I pushed the button. I don't think anything's happening.